on today's Compassion Radio.
And that's what we need today, Christians are immovable, whereas so many Christians are just softly and conveniently fitting into whatever the culture says.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
From continent to continent, in every corner of the globe, there's a story to tell. A story of God's work happening in this generation. And we're the ones to bring that story to you. This is the daily radio ministry journal known as Compassion Radio. Today, we'll be taking an inside look at the church in America. Bram's guest has a lot to say about it. He knows what he's talking about from years of research and probing the minds of believers of all stripes. And he'll discuss it with us today. Here's Bram Floria to make introductions.
Friends, welcome to Compassion Radio. Our guest today is someone that we respect highly and is someone you may or may not have heard, but over the years and over 30 books, Oz Guinness has contributed to evangelicalism and the gospel in the 21st century. And he's got a rich publishing tradition, which we want to dig into a little bit today on Compassion Radio. Oz, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, a great privilege. Pleasure to be with you.
And you're one of those great minds, my friend. I'm so glad that we had finally the chance to connect with you. For many, many years, Norm has wanted to get an interview with you to talk about some of your most potent books. And you've written a lot about the power of the gospel to transform lives in every generation and how an evangelical worldview needs to confront and to defeat falsehoods that have crept in over many generations. And of course, we're in the middle of a great change within our country, even this week as we record this program. Is that the biggest question that we as the church are facing right now, is what's going to happen in politics?
I don't think so. You know, I think we're living in a most extraordinary moment. Decline of the West, the faltering search for a new world order, the constellation of crunch questions that are being raised by globalization, aspect of things like transhumanism, singularity, things that are down in the future. I think crisis in the American Republic is very, very important, but it's second for us to the deeper crisis, which is the church's crisis. In other words, put simply, the church is exploding in the global south, not doing well anywhere in the advanced modern West. It's the challenge. Can the church, with faith and integrity, prevail over the challenges of advanced modernity? That's an actually deeper problem than the problem of America. Now, of course, the two are related because the weakness of the church has contributed to the decline of America. But the church is the deeper problem.
The problems that the church seems to be facing in the West are pretty much insular questions. How are we going to reach our own people or be culturally relevant? And of course, around the world, God seems to be much more preoccupied with actually fulfilling his own Great Commission. Are we still playing our role in helping to fulfill that Great Commission, or are we falling into some other kind of role?
Well, I don't think that is the problem of the West. I think our problem is we are living towards the attempted completion of a takeover from the Jewish and Christian faiths by progressive secularism as being the defining working faith of the West. If you look at Europe, Christians are a tiny minority in almost all the countries. The tragedy of the American church is that it's a huge majority numerically, culturally incredibly weak, and tiny groups like, say, gays and lesbians have much more cultural power than Christians, who are infinitely bigger in terms of numbers. There's something wrong with the salt. There's something wrong with the light. I argue in the book, we've become seduced and distorted by the shaping power of the advanced modern world, and that's the problem. We're weak because we're worldly.
Important point to make. Now, what ways do you believe the Western Church has grown worldly?
I have a chapter on that, and I've got three trends which people have got to recognize if they want to resist. The first is the way that our consumer society has shifted us from a stance of authority, authority under the lordship of Jesus, to a stance of preference. we pick and choose what we like in theology and the scriptures and so on. The real crisis of authority in evangelicalism was there's a softness, there's a syncretism that simply is not traditional biblical evangelicalism. The second trend is the shift from an integrated faith to a fragmented faith. The third trend is the shift from a supernatural worldview to a thoroughly secular. Peter Berger says we live in a world without windows, or Max Weber, we are tone deaf. Mm. And you can see that many Christians, compared with the scriptures, much of the rest of history, Christians are as secular as their atheist friends next door.
Has it always been a problem for some parts of the church, or is it really truly a new phenomenon in this century that the church at large has been so seduced and brought into a modernity worldview?
It's very common in the whole of the West today. That's the problem. There's certainly been parts of the church. You can take, say, Protestant liberalism, as in Schleiermacher in the 18th century, which has tended to sell out the spirit of the age in each generation, and effectively has committed spiritual suicide and institutional suicide. And the Protestant liberal church simply isn't growing. Now we have branches of the evangelical church, which, in the name of relevance, tended to try and copy that with equally disastrous results. So it's always been true of parts of the church. Two things I was talking about are shaping the American church almost across the board today.
And every single denomination has seemed to have been infected with this kind of yeast. Are there any pockets where you see in the Western church where you really see an exemplary flowering of the gospel and gospel living?
The way I put it is that many of the generalizations are rather gloomy, but the exceptions to them are magnificent. You know, from my own church, for example, at Falls Church Anglican, you saw the flowering of the International Justice Mission under the leadership of the courageous Gary Hogan. There are all sorts of magnificent exceptions, but culture-wide, the church isn't doing well. That's what we need to attend to. What are the overall challenges, and how can we face them?
And how do we face them? Let's find something practical we can do today. A redemptive worldview back to something in the public sphere. What could we do right now?
We've got to start by seeing we've been shaped more by the world, by the word. Now, the old term worldly has gone out of fashion. It was reduced in the 50s to things like don't drink, don't dance, don't smoke, and those were considered little no-nos in the 60s and thrown out. We don't have a powerful view of worldliness. At the very moment, the world is more powerful than ever. So we've got to start by first facing the problem, and I've got chapters on that in my book. But then the main thing is to really turn to the Lord and ask for revival and reformation. Here we are on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, started with Luther in 1517. The church today is deeply in need of reformation, including much of evangelicalism. So we've got to pray. And then by God's grace, as we pray, cover the integrity and effectiveness of discipleship, notions such as calling, so that we move out as salt and light in every sphere of modern life and do what we can.
And we haven't been taught much about effective or disciplined or well-mentored prayer in the past couple generations. So if you were to give a primer to us, what could we do in our prayer life that would make it far more effective than it is now?
The first thing is the rediscovery of the supernatural. You take that famous incident where Elisha's servant was panicking as he saw the enemy forces around the city. And Elijah says, Lord, open his eyes, and he sees the chariots and horses of fire. The same way, we've got to start by recovering supernatural reality in its fullness. We have in the scriptures, we have in the early church, and we have in much of the church today, except for the West. In other words, we really are incredibly secular in ways we don't realize. So you can say something like church growth. You can go online and see how to grow your church into a mega church. From soup to nuts, it's all there. McKinsey style, get your yellow pad, mission, vision, personnel, everything right down to the last item. Measurable outcomes, how to figure it all out ourselves. Put a man on the moon, market a perfume, grow a church, we can do it.
All we need to do is count the number of parking spaces.
And that's one crucial aspect of the whole thing.
Yeah.
In other words, it's part of our figuring it out ourselves. But trouble is we've lost touch with the Lord. He is sovereign. It's his supernatural power that makes the difference.
It's interesting to think that our prayers have become secular.
Oh, incredibly. Even when I was a boy, I grew up in China. parents were part of what was then called the China and the Mission, led originally by Hudson Taylor.
Yes.
The tremendous sense of intercession, of prevailing prayer, of supernatural warfare and so on. And in much of the Western Church, that's disappeared.
So how do we recapture it? Or is it something you have to experience first before you can vocalize it?
Well, you just need to read Scripture, see what we're called to, see the precedents in the past, to see what we are promised in the Gospels and promised by example in the Book of Acts and so on, and then by God's grace, do it all over again. You know, for instance, you take things like our Lord's discernment, his healings, his deliverances, his preaching, they're all in the power of the Spirit. And he gave the Spirit of Jesus, 12, the 70, church on the day of Pentecost. That flourishes right down to the 5th century, to which it starts to go wrong.
Hmm.
But we've got so much there, we've got to recover it. And if you read Immanuel Kant, his last essay is called Perpetual Peace. The idea, reason would rise like the sun, and the world would achieve perpetual peace. Well, 100 years later, Friedrich Nietzsche, in his last work, which is called Ecce Homo, a little book, he says that's wrong. We're about to go into a world, I'm quoting now, a war of spirits to which the world has never seen. Now, if you look at the 21st century, are we closer to Kant's perpetual peace or Nietzsche's war of spirits? Quite clearly, you look at Syria and Libya and so on. We're seeing a cataclysm of evil which can only be understood and responded to if we take seriously supernatural warfare, rather like Daniel's notion of the angel princes of the empires of Persia and so on. So we've got to recover prayer, supernatural warfare, among many of the things we do. It's not the only one, but among them.
We trust you're enjoying today's chat on today's Compassion Radio, and we'll get right back to that discussion after this quick word from Bram.
If we need to go afraid, we still need to go. And there's plenty of places in this world that require courage to go. That's where faith comes in, and our Compassion Radio partners like you make it possible through their faith in action. Compassion Radio has active projects all around the world. We cannot go and pray and dream and do without you. Please stand with us this month as we reach out and work with God's world changers. The number to call with your gift is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the Internet 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. If you missed any part of today's program or would like to share a link with a friend, just click the Today's Broadcast link on our homepage.
That's a good plan. Thanks, Bram. In fact, we have many, many programs archived there on our website, so pop on over and check it out when you get a free minute. Let's get you back now to Bram and guest Oz Guinness on Compassion Radio.
So we've given a lot of lip service to the notion of the spiritual power of the Word of God in prayer, but we've only learned the language of the secularists.
All too often. And so many churches need to recover the importance of prayer at the very heart of all that they do.
Do you think that God is reasonable when we start actually getting into a more powerful prayer life?
You say reasonable?
Yeah. Is it reasonable to assume that he's just going to dialogue with us with ideas? Or does the Spirit start doing things in ways that go beyond just our knowledge?
Well, of course, I might not, et cetera, et cetera. But we've got to take seriously the power of the Holy Spirit in deeply important ways. I'm second to none, along with others, in supporting the place of reason. I think Christianly bring our minds captive to Christ and so on. That is incredibly important, but we can't do it by thinking alone. The more seriously we take intellectual ideas, which I do, the more seriously we also have to take supernatural forces, which I also try and do.
So the more orthodox we get with our beliefs, the more open we are to the actual move of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. For example, how did the gospel get to Africa? Spirit sent Philip to meet the Ethiopian official. And so on. You can see all the great moves of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. That's what we need to say again today. It doesn't grow by our human design and marketing and these things. It grows by our following the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Now, in your book, the new one, Impossible People, you describe a kind of believer that is implacable, someone that has, as you say, backbones of steel and faces of flint, yet at the same time, the paradox that they melt with compassion, that they're tender. Now, those kind of people, we've met them on the road too. They are the people that are truly transforming the world, because it seems like every time they move their hand, God's hand is moving too.
What I mean by impossible people, it was based on a gentleman called Peter Damian in the 11th century, who was a reformer before the Reformation, so sold out to Jesus that he was unmanipulable, unbribable, unclubbable, to use a more modern term. In other words, people couldn't sway him. Now, some people said that about him. He was the impossible man. They said it with admiration. And other people with exasperation. They simply couldn't sway him. And that's what we need today, Christians who are immovable, whereas so many Christians are just softly and conveniently fitting into whatever the culture says.
I think back to C.S. Lewis talking about the modern man as being men without chests. They have no heart to beat from within anymore. They're left with empty ideas.
Well, that's right. No heart and no convictions, and so easily manipulated.
Where or how are we raising up people that have that kind of power and passion and conviction? I know you speak to it. Are you seeing that yourself and people that are rising up now and are responding to this call to action and a call to commitment and truth?
Well, absolutely. And I know many wonderful individuals, say the millennial generation, who are sharing that, which is wonderful. I'm in the book trying to talk about the general trends happening that pastors right across the country will take a lead in calling for revival and reformation. And one of the key things that's going to happen is a revival of preaching.
Yes.
In other words, preaching that changes people and communities, preaching that is the word put into collision with the world. It was just as the Puritans had a quarter of their sermons application. So today when we preach the word, it's got to be some part at the end of it where we're showing that the world into which the members are moving after they've been at a worship service, the world is going to deny, contradict, seduce everything you've just said. When one takes it on, the church becomes a change agent. And I remember reading something about this in a wonderful sociological essay. I was at a church series over here in America, I won't say which, and the pastor was preaching on the Beatitudes. And at first I thought, this is terrific. Blessed are the poor, the Greek, the Hebrew word, and so on. The more he went on, the more dissatisfied I became, because it just floated into the stratosphere. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's in America, where blessed are the winners, the MVPs, the Hall of Famers, celebrities. In other words, our Lord is a calculated insult. The word needs to be consciously brought in tension with the world so that Christians take on the world and change it by God's grace.
You've seen the world from the outside as a expat, and you grew up in China, and you are a third culture child, but educated well. Now you're active, very active here in the States. Is there anything about your third culture experience that gives you a unique perspective on where our culture is going?
Put it this way, Bram. You know the old saying of Rudyard Kipling, what knows he of England who only England knows?
Mm-hmm.
Knows you tend to take your own culture for granted as self-evident, naturally right, and so on. But there are always three things, two of them at a lesser level and one at a higher level, which should give you a counter perspective. One is travel. And if you go to the third world, I've just come back from Uganda. I often go every year to Asia. Come back and you see America, you see Britain with different eyes. You're seeing it from the outside because of travel. Or a second thing is history. If you read the history of the Reformation and the history of the Church Fathers or whatever it is, you look at our own century with different eyes, because you're seeing it from a different perspective. Above all, the final counter perspective, the highest of all, is the scripture read to the power of the Holy Spirit. But we always have to ask, because we know that even our reading of scripture, we filter in our own cultural things. And just as Psalm 119 says, Lord, open thou my eyes that I may see the wonderful things out of your law. So the Hebrew is, Lord, take the veil from my eyes. In other words, we read even the scripture with our own culture, and we have to ask the Holy Spirit to break in on our cultural understanding. We're all more short-sighted than we realize.
Certainly.
And so we need either travel, history, or the scriptures to break in.
And the scripture, at least, is the one that is hopefully available to all of us right here, right now.
Absolutely.
And it is the one that's going to punch through the ignorance. And we really seem to be in a pursuit of a relevance or relativity that is just leading to a deeper kind of intractable ignorance about the power of God, about the call, about what the Great Commission will mean for us in the future, how to get along with the world in general. Do you mind, Oz, if we carry this over to one more conversation? Because we're about at the end of what we can do in one program, but there's a lot more I want to ask you about where the future of the church is going and how we're going to play our part in it. Would you be willing to carry over with us for another program?
Like you too.
Thank you very much. Oz Guinness, a prolific author and a great spokesman and apologist for the faith over so many decades. We're proud to have him with us here on Compassion Radio, and we'll have him back tomorrow for one more episode.
Friend, as most of you are already aware, the Reverend Dr. Norm Nelson was called home to the Lord on April the 10th, 2017. Norm had been suffering greatly and hospitalized in one hospital or another for the last 7 months. So, along with our great sense of loss, is our joy that he is healed and experiencing the thrill of being present with our Savior. As you well know, our dear brother Norm was a brilliant man with a heart of gold. And from a fruitful ministry that lasted more than 50 years, his collection of books includes research library quality volumes. Norm's library represents the 2 doctoral degrees, 3 master's degrees, 4 professional certifications, and the pastoral ordination he earned. Bram said that, quote, "No one I've ever known was more committed to knowledge and learning than Norm. He personally read and collected thousands of works on Bible commentary, theology, church history, and missions. His library is astounding. You know, there are wonderful theological seminaries in crucial areas of the world run by brilliant, committed scholars and professors. We've met many of them. And they had a very special place in Norm's heart. Bethlehem, Ukraine, Nigeria, where new young pastors and evangelists from all across the Middle East, Asia, and Africa come to these hubs of learning to equip themselves for completing the Great Commission. Norm wanted to help them, and you have helped him bless other foreign seminaries in the past, and he wanted us to see that this happens with his expansive library. So we're going to do it. Would you help us? We're calling it our Legacy of Learning Library Project. Here's how it works. The best of Norm's theological library will be donated to these crucially important institutions as a living legacy. Just think of it. Words that have moved Norm and shaped this ministry and thousands of partners over the years will now shape the ministry of future generations of pastors. Could there be a better legacy to leave behind? This spring, archivists from 2 of the best theological bookstores in Southern California are helping us inventory the titles and prepare them for international shipment. We'll coordinate with these foreign seminaries to select the titles their students need most and begin sending them this tremendous inheritance. It'll be a multi-year process, but we're committed to getting as many of these titles as possible onto foreign seminary shelves this year. So this month, we're asking you to help us send the next generation of pastors and evangelists in the world's toughest places exactly what they need: quality commentaries and study materials. It will begin with Norm's personal collection. Each book will include a dedication placard commemorating Norm, his life, and your gift as a Compassion Radio partner. Your gift of any size this month is needed and important. Please give as generously as you can to keep this ministry on the air as your radio voice for global mission and to equip desperately needed theological seminaries with the books they need to effectively train pastors. For your gift of $25 or more this month to our Legacy of Learning Library Project, we'd love to send you a thank you gift. Now, we're having to do something we've never done before, and that is to say, we're not exactly sure what that gift will be. We are working on several different projects, either about or by Norm Nelson, and we're trying to make it a memorable and meaningful representation of his ministry. We simply don't know yet which one will be completed in time to send you. Will you trust us with this? As you probably all know personally, deaths in the family throw everyone off kilter for a bit. Cher has just finished all the planning of the memorial service and the end-of-life details so that she can devote herself to this project. Thank you, friends, for your cards and your letters and calls to Cher, Bram, and the Compassion Radio team. Cher has been blessed by each and every one. please continue to correspond with us. It is important to us to hear from you. For those of you willing and able to join our monthly vision team with your pledged gift of $25 a month, we'd also love to send you either the CD Unbreakable by the Christian artist group Selah, or offer you any book in our online bookstore at CompassionRadio.com. If you do not have access to the internet, please call our office at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. And we'll send you a list of the books currently in our bookstore. Our mailing address, by the way, Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Online, we're at CompassionRadio.com. And that phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.